EAA has a bone to pick with the NTSB about the home build accident rate. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Earl Lawrence, who is the Experimental Aircraft Association's Vice President for Industry and Regulatory Affairs. And EAA is somewhat concerned at this point about some data that is out there that suggests that home builds are maybe significantly more dangerous as a lot than standard category aircraft. And there are a couple of different sets of data out there, and Earl is going to set us straight on exactly what's going on with these numbers, or at least to the extent that he can. Earl, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Earl, talk a little bit about where this concern came from. What prompted you guys to start talking about this publicly?
Oh, absolutely. Well, really, over the last couple of years, there's been a series of concerns put out because the accident rate for amateur builds have kind of flattened out. And there's been a lot of activity and a lot of focus as general aviation has continued to improve its safety record. And two areas that have really popped out are the 601 accidents that we've had. And we know there's a study out there and things have been taken care of and we think we're fine there. There was also a big spike in Lancer aircraft having accidents. And we really haven't been improving on our flight testing accidents, and those have been staying pretty level. And then we've had a big influx of new aircraft, and I think that's where the numbers game comes in. When I say the big influx of new aircraft, over the last 5 years, we've had experimental light sport aircraft added into the community. And this is the difference in the numbers that have been reported out there lately. There are some that have said there's as many as 269 home build accidents last year. And then we go back and look at the numbers and we find 84 that are actually amateur build aircraft, not amateur build aircraft, out of that 269. And obviously, when you change those two numbers, you have a significantly different look at how concerned we might be about the amateur build arena. So as these numbers come out, we felt it was important to come out and say, you know, I don't think we're telling the whole story. Sure, there were 269 accidents in experimental aircraft, but 84 of those were not amateur builds. And so when we look at that, maybe the amateur build accident rate is really not as bad as being initially reported in some of these NTSB and FAA numbers. And we just wanted to make sure people are understanding what's really happening. I mean, amateur build aircraft are certainly not at the same level of safety of a type certified aircraft, for example. And there's a reason for that, and there's good reasons for that. We're having experiments. We're testing new engines. We're doing things for the first time. And, you know, an amateur-built design aircraft with an amateur, so it's designed, built, and test flown by amateurs, there's an expectation that it's not going to be quite as safe as a factory-built aircraft built by professionals, checked over by governments, and verified. But we don't want it to be significantly different, but it's not going to be the same. And I think there needs to be a recognition of that within the community also. I like to make it akin as motorcycles versus cars and what's acceptable. And what we find when we look at the amateur-built statistics is amateur-built aircraft and flying them is not as safe as driving a car, no big surprise there, but per mile flown versus per mile driven, we're safer than motorcycles. Mm-hmm. What do you look at it from a social acceptance standpoint? Motorcycles, I think everybody say, you know, your chances of getting injured is higher. But it's reasonable chance, you know, a risk. And if you use your head and you think about what you're doing and you take certain precautions, it's certainly a safe enough activity to participate in. And that's really what kind of the message we wanted to get out on the amateur build is we all look at these things. Sure, we have some things to focus on, but let's put these numbers into perspective and understand what's really happening.
We'll be back for more with EAA's Earl Lawrence in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Earl Lawrence of EAA, talking about some inconsistencies in the way the NTSB compares accidents between home builds and commercially manufactured aircraft. Earl, you talked about the 601 story. I also recall that about a year ago we were talking about North Las Vegas, where test flying was being done at a fairly busy airport in a congested residential environment. But what is it specifically that's caused EAA to step out and talk about this now? I know the FAA's been in town recently in Oshkosh with you guys there to have your annual discussions. Are you sensing there's renewed attention to this or more pressure being brought on the regulators to take some kind of action?
Yes, there really is a much more attention. And it did, you know, if I had to pick a point, I think you picked a good one. The event in North Las Vegas really refocused people's attention on this in a not so good way, in the sense of it brought in the attention of media, it brought the attention of political folks, it brought in the attention of NTSB and FAA management, saying, geez, you know, this is a high profile thing. What's going on here? Are there steps that we need to be taking? And, you know, that did start it. And then when I talk about the 601, I mean, I don't want to pick on that particular aircraft, but what it did is it started to raise questions again, and people are saying, well, geez, how do we regulate amateur-built aircraft? How do we control the safety of them? And I use that word in quotes, control. And then we see some accidents with a particular model where we had Lanciers having a higher number of fatal accidents than that was significantly sticking out in the statistics. And we've been working with the manufacturer and with FAA and with a group called LOBO, the Lancer Owners and Builders Association, to pay attention to those things. But that has heightened the attention to it. And then we have some accident statistics come out for the last couple of years where, you know, the rate is growing a little bit. But we're asking, you know, a certain question. When you say the rate, the way the FAA figures out the rates and NTSB also is per 100,000 hours flown. And, you know, that can bring up a lot of questions, because one of the things that we found is that's based on, okay, an average home built flies, you know, 60 hours a year, and that's not the number, but there is a number. Mm-hmm. And you know, so you calculate there's X amount of home builds, this is how many hours they flew, and therefore here's how many accidents they had per 100,000 hours of flight time. Well, going through the data, Ron Wintia, who I think is pretty well known in the amateur built community, is one who studied amateur built accident records and data for many years. He's written a lot of great reports. He spent so much time in that FAA data, he actually identified 12,000 home-built aircraft that weren't even counted. So if the fleet, you know, if we're saying there's 31,000 experimental aircraft, actually he found 36,000 aircraft that were blank certification numbers. And what does that mean? Well, you know, when you reserve an N number, you get a blank, your blank certification. It's just you're on the registry, but you haven't finished your airplane, obviously.
Right.
And when he dug into those 36,000 aircraft, he found a lot that had owners that were named Cessna and Boeing and things like that. And obviously, those aren't home built. So,
right.
You know, you start whittling down that list, but we got down to a list of about 12,000. Aircraft that are suspect, you know, that really truly appear to be home built. And then he spot checked a few of them and found some of those that actually were flying and had been flying for a couple of years. So the FAA and NTSB data was indicating that they didn't exist at all. And that would obviously affect our rate, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, if you cutting in half or reducing the rate, the hours flown by experimental aircraft, obviously the accidents we do have are going to have a, you know, look worse than they may be. So there's some questions in the raw data here that have to be answered, in addition to, you know, just all of what's happening with the aircraft themselves.
Tomorrow, when we finish our conversation, I'll talk with Earl about how the inclusion of test flights of home builds further skews comparisons with commercially manufactured aircraft. Earl Lawrence is EAA's VP for Industry and Regulatory Affairs. Find out more at EAA.org and find a link to this specific story in the data blot which accompanies this AeroCast. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.